Okay, we're once again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And since it's been a while, we'll go ahead and reread it. So if you would care to stand as we read through the chapter for as long as you can, that would be wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all of those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire while I was standing between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in the heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field or his male servant or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone and gave them to me. And it came about when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, 'Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and live? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says. Then speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They have done well in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Go say to them, return to your tents, but as for you, stand here by me that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I give them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess.'" Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 5, 9 and 10. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Last time that we were together in this chapter and passage, we began dealing with the Old Testament consideration of how gracious the Lord is with those who love Him. He shows His loving kindness to the thousandth generation on behalf of those who respond to Him and honor Him with reverence and with filial obedience. His grace is also seen even upon those who hate Him, who choose to live their lives without anything other than loathing for and animosity against Him. Yet even for those who so choose to denounce Him and to fight against Him, His anger is only set to the third and the fourth generations. It is upon those children who are so taught to hate Him and to seek any other way to exist in this realm without having to acknowledge the Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. As declared in the words of the Lord in Ezekiel 18:23, God does not delight in the death of anyone. Ezekiel 18:23, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live?" He would rather that they would choose to seek him, turn from their wickedness, and find life everlasting. As we are told, if the wicked cease their evil deeds and turn to the Lord, he will forgive their sins and their trespasses. That pleases the Lord more than his righteous judgment upon those who refuse to seek him and rather despise and loathe him. As a consequence, these are the ones who fully deserve the sentence of his holy wrath. Today we want to bring this whole reality into the New Testament. We must remember that we are dealing with the same holy and just and righteous Lord God Almighty. He is not any different in the New Testament than he was in the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi gave voice to this for us in Malachi 3, 5 and 6. Malachi 3, 5 and 6. "Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against those who swear falsely, and against those who oppress the wage earner and his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And then in the New Testament, the writer of the Hebrews reinforces this in Hebrews 1:10-12. Hebrews 1:10-12. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They will perish, but thou remainest, and they all will become old as a garment, and as a mantle thou wilt roll them up. As a garment they will also be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end." And again, this is proclaimed very succinctly and adamantly in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 13 with specific regard to our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8. "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever." Accordingly, there is no way to think that we are dealing with a different aspect or detail of God's nature and character of being when coming into the New Testament. It is still so immensely true of God that He will deal with those who love Him in loving kindness. As well, those who hate Him will receive the just punishment for their foolish disregard of the One who gives life to all of His creation. Our Lord spoke to this issue of the loving kindness of God to those who love Him and His righteous judgment of those who are against Him in Matthew 7:15-27. Please turn to it. Matthew 7:15-27. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and burst against that house. And it fell. And great was its fall. This is a most challenging passage for us to keep before the Holy Spirit in terms of our attitudes and our thoughts of how we are serving the Lord. Do we really love Him and want to serve Him with all faithfulness and honor and reverence? Or is there a searching out that needs to take place within our hearts? There are many people who try to use God for their own purposes. They see Him as a means to an end in their own selfish motivations. They will say all the correct phrases, and they will practice all the rituals and the customs, yet with no real love for the Lord in their heart. The gambit runs from those who are so aware of the terror of hell that they will try to hedge their bets, practicing a form of religion, but without really knowing the Lord and loving Him. Then there are those who have been indoctrinated by the practitioners of religious rites and dogmas, not really serving the Lord as much as merely practicing the traditions of their forefathers. And then there are those thieves in the night who dress themselves up in the garments of righteousness with only one plan and purpose. They will do those things that they think will get them what they want from the Lord and from His people. They prey on the members of the church as if Christians were feeble-minded dolts who will willingly give away all their earthly possessions to feed the devious and false-hearted motives of these betrayers. Again, we hear the voice of Jesus in Matthew 23:29-39, decrying this religious apostasy. He voices the indignation of the Lord upon those who proclaim their own superiority over the members of the Lord's people, while at the same time asserting that they would not have done the horrible things that their fathers did. The Lord's response of visiting the sins of the fathers on the third and the fourth generation springs to mind as we read these words of Christ. Please turn to this passage and read along with me. Matthew 23, beginning with verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Consequently, you bear witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Lest we become so discouraged and filled with dread that we might not be the sincere people of the living Lord God Almighty, we find encouragement from the words of Christ in John 15:17-27. He gives vivid detail to what we can expect from this age. As well, he specifies how God will bless and will keep those who truly do love him with all their mind and heart and being. They will receive the loving kindness of the Lord to the thousandth generation. Please read along with me and rejoice that the Lord laid it all out precisely and concisely before us. John 15:17-27. This I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would not have sinned. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father as well. But they have done this in order that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Christ detailed the treatment that we can expect from this age with its hatred and its animosity toward God. Because it hates our Lord, it will hate us and treat us in the same persecution and tribulation. However, because we love the Lord and because we belong to Him, we can rest in the assurance that He will deal with all according to His omnipotence and His omniscience and wonderfully His omnipresence, holding us firm throughout our time on this earth. He will maintain us until we are partakers of His eternal glory. We are even now so blessed to get those glimpses of His glory as we look to Him and hold to Him and honor Him and as we love Him. Our final passage of this morning is from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church at Rome, Romans 11:25-36. In it, we are encouraged with the fact that God is the one who is at work. No matter how things may seem to us, He is the one in charge. We are not the ones to judge the motivations and the aspirations of others. Neither are we the ones who decide who is a Christian, beloved of God, and who is destined for the fires of hell. That is up to the Lord God Almighty, who judges every man by His perfect and holy standard of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 11:25-36. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and thus all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the Deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you once were disobedient to God, but now have been shown mercy because of their disobedience, so these also now have been disobedient, in order that because of the mercy shown to you, they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience, that He might show mercy to all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable His ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. There are those who have condemned all Jews for what the religious leaders did to Jesus. However, the Lord used the children of Israel for the manifest purpose of showing His loving kindness to the whole world. It was through that chosen nation that the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world and has become the Savior for all who will call upon His name. We know not what plans our Heavenly Father has for the remnant of that people. They have been given their Messiah in Jesus, the one whom they so earnestly expected and whom they prayed for and whom they yearned for all these thousands of years. God will faithfully make known the fullness of His loving kindness upon those who love and honor Him to the thousandth generation, as we have emphasized over and over again. God will be true to Himself, and in His faithfulness we will all be blessed who love and honor and cherish Him. So be it. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Amen.